The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. I'm going to start a couple of verses ahead of where your reading in the bulletin begins. Do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Well, like I said, I decided this morning to start back a couple of verses to try to set a little bit of the context into which our reading sits this morning. Those verses before that are Jesus telling his disciples to not worry about their lives, what they're going to eat, about their bodies, what they're going to wear, for life is more than all of those things. And so he's telling them here at this point to strive for the kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Now, when we look for comfort from Scripture, I think this very first verse of today's reading brings lots of comfort. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We have a lot of things in this life that we might be afraid of. We have many people in this life that will try to make us afraid of things. And yet the word from God comes to us to say, do not be afraid. You see, what happens when we become afraid is that we don't really think clearly. When we're afraid, we can't think clearly. You have three choices, right? Fight, flight, or freeze. Those are your three choices. Your body's going to do them automatically. You don't get to decide. When you're truly in fear, that's what's going to happen. And so we can't necessarily think through then what are our actions once we have been gripped by fear. And so everybody kind of knows this. So whether it's the news, whether it's politicians, whether it's preachers of the past, preachers of the present, there's many people that want to play on our fears to get us to fight or flight or freeze. But God the Father says to us, do not be afraid, little flock. Don't be afraid of all of those things that everyone else should tell you to be afraid of. Don't be afraid that you've got enough stored up. Don't be afraid that you've got enough of this, enough of that, enough of whatever it might be. Because it's God's good pleasure, it's God's delight to give us the kingdom. Now, the rest of this scripture, in many ways, sounds like an eschatology. That's the big word. It sounds like we're talking about the end times, about times to come somewhere in the future. But Luke uses that idea of eschatology in lots of different ways. And one of the ways he uses it is that the fact of the matter is that the kingdom of God can be breaking in at this moment. The kingdom of God can be near us now, that this isn't pointing to some time in the future, but is pointing in to our current reality. So he tells them to be ready, to be on guard, to watch, to be alert, to know that something is going to happen. There's a great little chapter, and I forgot I was going to look up the book title, and I didn't look up the book title, but it's a book by Joan Chittister, and she talks about the bells ringing at the monastery. And now, if you're somebody who doesn't quite understand why all the bells ring, they might be annoying because they're constantly ringing throughout the day, throughout the night. But the purpose of those bells are to call the people into awareness of God's presence. Those bells are meant to kind of snap you out of whatever it is that you might be doing at the moment and bring your attention back to God. Now, I don't know about any of the rest of you. I have one of these things in my pocket, and it beeps at me all the time. And the truth of the matter is, it doesn't draw me closer to God most of the time when it's beeping at me. So this doesn't work for me in that kind of model. But there are ways in which we can be alert for one another to share what God is up to in the midst of us. That we can keep each other awake and alert. In the very first congregation I served, they would ring the bell during the Lord's Prayer. And the purpose of that was that if you didn't come to church that morning, you would hear the bell start to toll and you would know that you should stop and pray the Lord's Prayer. Of course, this worked really well in the days where you gathered hay with a horse and a cart. Not so well in the day of tractors because you couldn't hear the bell over the tractor hum. But it's that meant to snap us out of whatever it is that we're doing and call us into awareness of what God is doing in our midst. And I have a little bit of a confession to make. I had this realization as I was sitting in text study this week with other pastors in our area. And I got talking about the fact that we call, whenever we see God around us, we call those God winks. And all of a sudden, I just kind of stopped. And I thought to myself, I haven't been paying attention. Because I couldn't tell you of a God wink that I knew of just off the top of my head in the last couple of weeks. I haven't been paying attention. And all of a sudden, then I felt really guilty. Because God's been present all along. And I just haven't been paying attention to God's presence in my midst. But what I want to say and what I think we need to hear in this is that is work that we do for one another. Even in the monastery, somebody's got to get up and ring the bell. Somebody's got to take the time and know what time it is to ring that bell to call the attention back to what God might be doing in our midst. And so we are that for one another. We are the way in which we can hear God moving in the world, we can see God active in the world, is when we share, when we have those moments. And it really also, what it means is nobody in the last couple weeks has shared a God wink with me. Once in a while I get an email, I get a text, I get something, and somebody comes in the office and says, hey, do you know what happened this week? And I get a chance to see how God is active in all of your lives as well. If it's God's good pleasure, if it's God's good delight to give us the kingdom and to give us that kingdom right now, to let that kingdom break into our world right now, then we have to pay attention for the kingdom, the inbreaking of the kingdom. We have to pay attention because there are so many other things vying for our attention, so many other things drawing us away from being aware at all, so many things that would like to numb us so that we can't pay attention to the world around us. One of those things are potato chips. You ever started eating potato chips? Pretty soon you get to the bottom of the bag of potato chips and you don't remember starting the bag of potato chips, okay? There's lots of things in this world vying for our attention. There are lots of things in this world trying to draw us away from what God is trying to say to us, what God is trying to give to us. And so in the midst of that, we are being called to stay awake, to be dressed for action, to have our lamps lit, to be ready to go. This imagery is interesting as well because we hear these words that when the master comes home, he finds his slaves, in this case, awake, waiting for his return. He fastens his belt and he feeds them. And at first, I'm not quite sure what to do with that. What master is going to do that? And then I think at least, that this gives us some imagery of every time we are invited to come to this table. It gives us imagery of what does it look like when we come out of the world, we come into this place, we come into this moment, and we gather here to receive from Christ's own hand, to receive of Christ's own body and blood. That it's in that moment that Jesus promises to be there to feed us and promises to show us just a little bit of what it means to see the kingdom of God in our midst. Now, I don't always say it so clearly, but I get asked this question quite often. Pastor, why do we take communion every Sunday? Well, one of the reasons why we take communion every Sunday is because we need sure signs of the kingdom among us. And one of the ways we do that is when we come to this table. Because no matter where we come from in this world, no matter what we have done, who we have been, we are welcome here to receive from Christ. We are welcome here to be part of this great meal. And if you don't believe me, I want you to think about that Hebrews reading for a moment. There's all that talk about Abraham, and you would think that the writer of Hebrews didn't actually know Abraham at all. Because if you remember Abraham's story, he was busy so often trying to cook the books. He was trying to get everything to work in his favor. When God wasn't working fast enough, he was over on the side trying to make deals, trying to get this thing to go a little bit quicker. And yet, we are told in the midst of that, that because of Abraham's faith and trust in God, that his descendants are more innumerable than the grains of sand along the ocean. You see, sometimes the fear that we have is that we are not worthy of the grace that God gives to us, that we are not worthy of the kingdom that God promises to us. And so that fear can convince us that there's lots of things that we have to do, lots of ways that we have to act, that we even sometimes have to be gatekeepers of this free gift that God gives to us. And yet, I can't say it often enough. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So how is it? How is it that we can be that bell for one another? How is it that we can be that sign of God's presence in this world for one another? How is it that we can rouse each other when we're falling asleep? How is it that we can make our eyes see clearly the inbreaking of the kingdom of God all around us? This is part of the work we do together. This is even part of what we do in the midst of liturgy in our worship on a Sunday morning. Liturgy is called the work of the people. It's one of the things that we do together because we're here in this place wanting to feel the presence of God in our midst. And sometimes we need the help of those around us to help us see when we cannot see, to help us hear when we cannot hear, to help us feel when we can't feel, to help us have faith when we don't feel like we have that faith. Do not be afraid, little flock. It is your Father's delight to give you the kingdom. Amen.